This is CliffCentral.com.
Oh, the suspense. Good morning, Anthea. Happy Monday.
Good morning, Ben. Happy Monday to you too. It's the original, right?
Donna Summer?
Yeah.
Indeed.
Almost as good as my version.
Almost, but not quite.
Yeah.
You know, I believe there should be a new rule. When you're actually in the studio here, you get the original. When you're on Skype, you get your version.
Okay. And fair when enough. Do you guys sing for me? Which part of the day of the week is that?
Well, we're still waiting for Sia to come good on this.
I've already sung for you, actually.
This is true.
Yeah.
Thanks, my buddy.
I'm the only committed person here.
All right, let's put it down. Next week. I need a week of rehearsal.
Sia, next week Monday.
Yeah.
This is you.
Perfect.
See, we're trying to get Sia to do more on the show. We feel that, you know, he doesn't share. He's come out of his shell more. I mean, Michael told us big revelations earlier about moving in with his girlfriend. Sia, you're the next. Right, Anthea, so what's happening with our money? Or more importantly, your money?
Okay. So on Friday, the Aussie closed 2.5% up. So we had a nice little bounce. Unfortunately, for the week, the market was still 3% lower. And year to date, it's about 1.5% off. Since the 31st of December. The Rand was nice and strong last week. Well, on Friday, I should say, not last week. Mm-hmm. It was about 1% stronger against the dollar, which normally would mean that resources would come off because they're Rand hedge, and so the stronger Rand is bad for resources. But actually, resources bounced over 5% on Friday. For the week, though, they're down about 90 basis points, so almost 1%. Let me just say, on the Rand is stronger, not because of anything fundamental in the country or because great state of the nation addresses, but because of a weaker dollar. So we are expecting delayed interest rate hikes in the US, which means that the dollar, which had priced in kind of a rate hike sooner, is now weaker. So resources, ArcelorMittal was up 24% on Friday. I mean, that is just unbelievable. They did release their full year results. And I'm sorry Gareth's not here because this is such an interesting story. And I almost think he wanted to give me a heads up 2 weeks ago. Just quickly on the results, because he was talking about steel and what was happening in the steel industry. Mm-hmm. So full year results, total sales were down 11%. Revenue was down 11%. They made a headline loss of almost 5.5 billion rand, and yet the share price was up 24%. Now something's going on here, right?
There certainly is.
Yeah. None of this makes sense.
Do we know what it is?
Well, this is the thing. So a couple of weeks ago, Gareth was saying that we're suffering, the steel industry is suffering because China is importing really low-cost steel. And in fact, the CEO of ArcelorMittal came out on Friday and said a couple of interesting things. The first thing he said was that he admits that since, I don't know, almost the longest time, as far back as 2004, they have been behaving monopolistically. Is that a word? In other words.
I'm sure it is, but it does have a definition. That's the big one.
So they were...
Like a monopoly.
Yes, they were acting like a monopoly.
They're verbing a monopoly.
And unfair pricing. So they were putting through increases or higher prices because they could, basically. That's what he said. And now they've basically gone to government and said, okay, please forgive us because we really need your help. So China's... you know where this is going, Mavs. So China's bringing in cheap steel. Please, can you help us? Please, can you put in place safeguards against these cheap imports? Very interesting, right? I don't know what to make of that, actually. I like the cheek of it.
Yeah, really?
But, I mean, if they just had the ability to kind of pull the piss this whole time until suddenly China gives a reality check, it's like, well, hang on a second.
That's pretty much it, yes.
It's so depressing with this because, I mean, they're not doing something too ethical here, but at the same time, we don't need the job losses.
That's
because
right.
If that's going to happen, then obviously the employment factor is going to be sort of kicked.
Yeah, things get worse, right?
Yeah.
They did say that they had been given the largest fine ever paid to the commission, which is 1.5 billion rand. So ArcelorMittal are being fined because of this unfair pricing practice that they're going through. Yeah. But Flaherty, who is the CEO, said that they do expect the government to do something about it. Do you know what was interesting was that not last week, the week before, Leslie Marsdorp was in town and he's now the VP of the BRICS Bank. He's the South African that's gone to the BRICS Bank with Tito Mboweni. And he was in Joburg. I happen to know this. And I thought he was here to come and fetch Nhlanhla Nene. But actually, it came out last week that he's doing a deal with ArcelorMittal. So he is going to be their BE partner through a consortium that he does for them. So I thought that was kind of a bit odd. But why I'm saying that as well is because Flaherty, who's the CEO of ArcelorMittal, said that not only had he gone to the South African government and asked them to put these protection mechanisms in place, but he'd actually gone to some of the other governments as well, like basically 64 governments. And the funny thing about that number is that it's the same number of members at the African Development Bank. So it's the US, Korea, Japan, most of Europe, so UK, France, Belgium, Holland, all of them. So he's obviously kind of working, helping ArcelorMittal, I think it sounds like. He might be. I'm speculating, of course. He might be helping ArcelorMittal get these kind of tariff safeguards in place, if you like. So that was definitely an interesting one. And I'll be watching that carefully because I want to see what happens. And why the shares up year to date, or sorry, for the last year, 81% actually blows my mind when they're making a 5.5 billion rand loss.
So are you suspecting something dodgy, something suspicious, bordering on the illegal side?
Oh, I know. I don't think illegal. I don't think a company this big can do anything too illegal. And especially now that they've come out and said, oh, we apologize for our monopolistic behavior. But there's something going on, you know. Maybe the government will listen to them.
Now, forgive my ignorance, but how does steel get produced? I mean, is this something that gets mined or... I mean, it's... No, I just want to know why China...
Not an engineer.
I just want to know how China can do it so cheaply. And is this another reason why they want to colonize Africa so they can then...
So I think they can extract it out of the ground cheaper.
So it's a mining practice, really.
Yes. And then they smelt it down there. So basically...
Sorry, I wasn't looking for temperatures and stuff.
Oh, good. Okay.
This one's the basic.
Okay. So basically they break up the rocks, they melt it down, they extract the iron ore, the steel, the metals.
Okay. Of course. So
and then they sell it. Of course. So what we've got is very deep mines because we've been mining for hundreds of years, and they've probably got shallower mines, so it's easier to get to. That's the first thing. And then their labor is probably cheaper.
Well, yeah. It definitely is.
Yes.
Yeah. I can confirm. Yeah.
I think China are well known for the kind of labor practices that they
and then they
if
implement.
If we were in China, one of us would be taking out steel right now.
God, not me. I'm too fragile. Please, not me. And then Pioneer, talk about something dodgy. Before I get to Pioneer Foods, Tongaat was up on the 21st of January. It was trading at 80 Rand 20. On Friday, it closed at 100 Rand 83. Cool. So that's what, 20% up in a couple of days? Now, there's no news. Now I'm suspicious. Because obviously something's going on. And Tongaat is the sugar play, which I've been waiting for months, almost a year now, for it to announce the sale of its land parcel in Umhlanga. And it hasn't done so. I've been very worried that management haven't been communicating with shareholders very well. And I just don't see why the share price should suddenly jump 25% in, 3 weeks? So I almost suspect something's going on there, if you're my suspicious nature coming out. Okay, and then Pioneer Foods released a trading update on Friday. Not great. Group turnover was up 8% year on year. I think, though, the market was expecting worse. So actually, the share price was up over 2% on Friday. So yes, you know, the shares come down quite a bit. It had a little bounce on Friday. The results weren't great, but we weren't expecting much more out of it. They really are doing everything they can to sustain contain costs. But, you know, Pioneer are the guys who produce Sasco bread. Their groceries are Marmite, Bovril. They do this long life fruit juices, so cereals. They do maize and all these things. So now you know where this is going, right? The drought, the price of wheat and all this. And that the issue wasn't so much Pioneer's results, but actually the read-through into where this is going. They've already said that they've put through some incredible price increases. So if you may or may not have noticed that the price of bread, price of maize meal has gone up. They have said that maize meal will eventually hit an increase of 80 to 90% this year.
Wow.
From starting August last year. So between August and sometime this year, maize is basically going to double.
Government haven't just slipped in a little tariff in here as well, huh? Like to do with the fuel.
So I think, actually we need to talk about that as well. But I think it's the other way around here, because when Pioneer experiences these huge maize price increases, there's no way they can pass that on to the consumer. So I think government are going to have to subsidize maize or bread prices.
Well, because you would hope so, yeah.
There's just no way we can survive otherwise. The interesting thing, though, is that they also said they've seen no shift in carbohydrate consumption. So people are not moving from bread to potatoes or to rice, which is not as affected as the maize price. Which I thought was quite interesting. They did say they've had the lowest rainfall since 1904. And of course, don't forget the currency impact as well. So because we've had to import a lot of maize and we've had a weaker rand, that's also helped push the price up.
But now you say government subsidy. I mean, I think the government's getting a 200 million rand injection soon, aren't they?
From what? What are we talking about? 200 million rand of...
Well, I think someone... I think someone's going to pay back some money. So don't fret, maize consumers. Oh, I think we'll be all right.
Yes, yeah. I'd forgotten about that. Thanks for the reminder, Ben. So we can just use that to keep the price of bread lower. That's
and earlier
fine.
You mentioned a billion rand fine. Where does that money go?
The Competition Commission, yeah. That's,
what do they do with it?
Well, that's a good question. Ben, your math is getting very good. I keep forgetting to do this. Actually, I don't keep forgetting, but somebody, Jason Thorne, emailed us last week and said, why, if the price of oil is lower, are we not seeing the same correlation or the same move in the price of petrol? And last week we had so much to talk about, I didn't get around to it. So please, can I answer that question now? Mm. First off, the price of oil or oil is only about 55 to 60% of your petrol price. And as that decreases, obviously you get your petrol price decrease. But there are fixed overheads. So the wholesalers, the retailers, and then government, of course.
Yeah, yes.
Yes, of course. And it's not, unfortunately, a percentage of the petrol price. It's actually a nominal amount. So it's a set amount. So let's say petrol was 10 rand and oil made up 6 rand and oil fell to 30 rand. Don't forget, we also have the currency. So a weaker currency, because oil is priced in dollars, we're paying more because we're still paying rands, which has fallen against the dollar, 30% about. And so the decline won't... So if the petrol price halves, if your oil price halves, from 6 rand to 3 rand, you still have that extra 4 rand, so the petrol price doesn't halve.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, you know, it's not a perfect correlation.
But there's all kinds of other little taxes that go onto it, you know, because it's a volatile substance, so...
The fuel levy, and of course, transport costs.
Transport costs are a big deal, so when you're inland, you'll always pay more.
That's right, yeah.
Right.
Okay, so I had to answer that question.
Just quickly to you, before we get into any further, Anthea, Temba says, Anheuser-Busch, InBev, and Naspers are killing him right now. Is this ever going to turn around?
Yes, absolutely. Definitely. If you think, So these are all Rand hedge stocks. And if you think the Rand is going to stay weaker for longer, then it definitely will turn around. Mm-hmm. So as I said earlier on, because of what's going on in the US and delayed hiking rates.
Raising
hikes.
Yeah, thanks, Mabel. You knew what I meant.
I saw.
The dollar has weakened, and so the rand has strengthened. And, of course, our rand hedges, our Naspers, our Mediclinic, our SAB Millers, Anheuser-Busch's do come off a bit. I would just hold on to those. I like those stocks. This is a long-term game.
You're never going to lose your shirt with them. Kind of thing.
Hopefully not.
Okay, so worry not, Timber. Worry not.
Yeah, it's all okay. It's all in hand.
Yeah.
And then the last thing, WBHO Wolfson Bailey Holmes released a trading statement for the 6 months ended December. Headline earnings was up between 15 and 20%. Now, this is quite incredible because they're in the construction industry, which we've always said is struggling because they can't grow in a weaker economy. But I think partly because it's off a low base, and also at some stage these stocks get so beaten that they actually do become cheap. So I'm not saying go out and buy it. On a 12-month forward PE, it's still on about 8x, which is incredibly cheap. But I'd like to see things turn around a little bit more. I think their results on the 25th of February, so not next week or the week. Oh, it is next week. Wow, time flies.
Can you confirm if they've been using Chinese steel?
No, I can't.
Growth's got to come from somewhere.
Cheaper input costs could be, but I can't say for sure. But it's one. So now the interesting thing is, like, it's worth watching because at some stage these stocks will turn around. And in fact, I think they'll turn around before the economy does. So the minute we start seeing any glimmer of hope in a growing economy, we'll start buying these shares again because we always price forward. So we always price for the future and not for today.
Right.
And then that's me, really.
That's it. Monday, Anthea, thank you so much. If you didn't get all of it, don't worry. You'll always get a podcast of the Money Shot. You'll get everything you want, actually, on cliffcentral.com. So you can always just recheck with that. Otherwise, Anthea will be back tomorrow on the Skype.
This is cliffcentral.com.